This is a Pinball News production.
27 years. 1985. I was there, and I've got the T-shirt to prove it. And, things have changed. A lot has changed. The biggest change that I know is Robbie Burke shaving off his mustache. Ever since I've known this man, he's had a mustache. Now, I grew my mustache about 1990, and I've had it because Dr. Scott in the movie Rocky Horror Picture Show has a mustache and octagon glasses. So that's the reason I have the motif of Dr. Scott. And for years, I've been telling Rob that somewhere I've got this postcard. Now, last year I did this very self-deprecating seminar about my clutter. And yes, I am a clutterer, and I've got a problem with clutter, but we'll get into more of that later. But if you could show the postcard. My first expo was 1985. I don't know if you can see it, but it's R. Burke in Warren, Ohio. The postmark on the card is 1979. The very top it says, "Note, I need a Williams Vagabond. Scott, I'm finally writing back. Pin Pals was an idea I toyed with Candace Tolbert. I hadn't caught on as I thought. I hoped it would, but a pen pal sort of dealing with pinball enthusiasts. Two things. What would you pay for a Williams Jubilee back glass? And I've got a Chicago coin, oh boy, Playfield for sale from 1939. Make me an offer if interested. Anything reasonable is yours. Write me direct so I know what machines you have." I got involved in this hobby in the late 70s. And you can turn off the lights. No, we got some more slides anyway. It was amazing that we were able to do what we did with this hobby back in the 70s before there was the internet. And I was going to say, can you imagine what it was like before the internet? And the thing is most of you have been here. I've made a lot of friends coming to Pinball Expo over the years. And most of them are right here in this room. And I thank you. The things that have changed, it's great. I mean, I remember 15 years ago, who was going to make the first Bally CPU board? And Joel Cook did. There were a couple other beginners. And now, there's Rotten Dog and Great Lakes. And where Great Lakes started and where Rotten Dog started with just one or two boards. Now the whole menagerie of boards that are available are just absolutely amazing. And I'm really grateful for that. The thing that's really beautiful about Pinball Expo is that it caters to the three kind of pinheads. There's the collector, there's the player, and then there's the techie. Some can be all three. My playing skills are hopelessly mediocre, and it proves it every time I try to do the tournament. I used to think I was a good player. I have more fun repairing games. And as I made mention before, last year was a very self-deprecating seminar where I was mostly doing a lead about my clutter. And for that, I want to apologize. I'm sorry, and thank you for listening. And please forgive me, but I had fun. And a lot has changed in the last year. I have been going to a lot of Clutters Anonymous. Do you have that flyer? And if anyone, I still have some brochures left over from last year. There is a real organization called Clutters Anonymous. And I have started a meeting in Maumee, Ohio. And does clutter seem to have a life of its own, able to multiply without effort? In my case, yes. And I'm trying to do something about it. Are you embarrassed to have anybody come over to your home or shop, or in my case, the store? Is clutter causing problem at home, at work, or your relationships? In my case, yes. And I've been going to meetings. I've started, they have telephone meetings. They're wonderful. If you think you might have a problem with clutter, see me afterwards. I've been trying to do something. It is continuous progress rather than perfection. I was going to show a bunch of slides of the store and, you know, how things have been better. If anyone's come over to the shop, I'm in Maumee, Ohio, right on exit 59 of the Ohio Turnpike, and many of you have stopped in to see my store. It's 8,000 square feet with over 100 pinball machines set up, and I'm no longer the collector. I've got maybe a half dozen machines. I've got the machines in the store. If I want to play them, I can. I can enjoy them. Like, I've got the Atari Airborne Avengers. That was, I considered, one of my games, but it was in the store. I thought I'd bring it in. If someone wants to buy it, great. If no one does, it stays in my collection. But my collection is for sale, except for a few. I've also, in the past year, been doing some reading. There's a couple books that it's about time, which is identifying problems with procrastination, which is another one of my problems. Another fun book is called E-Myth, of anyone who thinks that they can start their own business and turn their hobby into a business. This is a very frightening book to read because it says you can't do. And I found myself in this problem, is you can't do what you love to do because you've decided to run a business. And the E-Myth, I don't know offhand. But the big book that I've gotten into that I want to recommend is David Allen, Getting Things Done. Getting Things Done takes away the concept of to-do lists, a daily to-do list where you prioritize it A, B, C. What he recommends doing is make a list of every single project you've got going. And in this case, every pinball machine that needs work. And this is going to be applied to every aspect of your life. Is you make a list, and then from that list, you make put it on a sheet of paper. I've got some 5x8 index cards. And it's well over 100 things in my life that are projects that require more than one action. And what you need to do is take a weekly review of all these cards and figure out what is the next action step. So you have a horizontal, all the lists of things you need to do, and then you have the vertical list of what is the next action. You don't make a list of all the things that have to be done to have from your project to become your goal. It's what is the next step in that process. And so you're not overwhelmed. And the other thing is try to do only one thing at a time. It'll take an entire day to make a list of all the projects that you have. I know it did for me. And the thing is, you need to review this project list weekly, and things will get better. Oh, yeah, why don't we pass out the... Ron, you have the... Yeah, pass these things out. A few months ago in the summer, I'm always thinking of, what can I talk about this year? And we've had this thumbtacked, or actually taped to a file cabinet. The top one is a schematic, and it's available online. It was just really funny. I enjoyed it. And this was the inspiration for my topic of having fun with troubleshooting. I mean, this whole hobby is fun. And sometimes you'll have those projects that end up pulling your hair out. What is the next thing I need to do? And the machine's not working. As frustrating as it is fun. And I was planning on going into a really crazy flow chart of if this doesn't work, yes or no. Yes. And my goal for next year is to actually take all the information that's available out there and see if I can create a very complex flowchart on how to troubleshoot a pinball machine. Problem is that there's electromechanicals versus digitals versus the newer system. So every system would probably have to have its own flowchart. And I give kudos to Clay for all the effort he has written. His stuff is just absolutely amazing. But on the next page, I thought I'd have fun. Is it a pinball game? Yes or no? Or maybe. Four legs and flippers? Well, it might have. And the question is it worth fixing? Can you plug it in? Well, where's the power cord? Is the cord inside the game? Or is the game made of plastic? You can stop. Take the head off. I hate it when I put the head on without taking out the power cord. Because there's no easy way to get that done. So you got to take it apart, put it back together. And then you plug it in. Instead of just the smoke bellows, I thought it would be fun to have burst in the flame. And only once or twice has that happened. Ron just had that happen about a month ago. Hard to believe that it can happen, but it does. And then we start getting into nothing, or it's turned on. Is it turned on? One thing I like to say is coincidences are where God remains anonymous. I mean, I've been through the factory tour every year. Hasn't changed very much, although, you know, years ago when we do the different factories. But this I found absolutely brilliant. In my clutter, in our clutter at the shop, it's totally out of control. When going through the Stern factory, you didn't see clutter. And I saw this banner, a place for everything and everything in its place. Sort, stabilize, shine, standardize, and sustain. That, I think, is absolutely brilliant. And I want to find out more about the five S's. Because with clutter, I need to stay focused, and I've made clutter-free zones. The office was supposed to be, and at one point this summer, it was wonderful. But to keep the idea of keep things organized, sort, stabilize, shine, standardize, and sustain. Show the next one. Is in CLA, we talk about clutter-free zones. This is the same thing, only different, an error-free zone. Because if you've got the clutter gone, you won't make as errors and to be aware of what you're doing. And the thing with pinball is to work on a pinball machine, let alone what's coming to my mind is changing over a play field. You can do the Mylar overlays on the top of the play field, fine. But to do an entire play field, take the bottom off, top off, and when you put it back together, it has to be 100% correct. I cannot imagine the manufacture and the complexity of manufacturing a pinball machine where it has to be error-free every time. And I'm sure they're trying very hard to sustain that. So I see this as a goal in my life, and I'm going to find out more about the five S's and let you know how that's incorporated into my business. And that's going to be a fair warning for Ron to get our parts room totally under control, to get our back room, our shop under control. Because I was going to show you pictures of what the store is like. That's what I did last year. I showed all these wonderful pictures, and I can't do it this year because it has gotten better. Not as much, not perfect as I wanted to go, but I've talked about it's progress rather than perfection. Okay, Ron, it's back to you.
Okay, can you hear me okay? Let me I figured we'd play around a little bit with the troubleshooting since Scott's been talking about the clutter issue in the store. I mean, it's slowly getting itself under control. I mean, you got to make a mess to clean the mess. I mean, but we have thrown tons and tons of things away, even though he says we're not supposed to throw things away. Well, he tries to break his rule, but I smack the hand, of course. Let me throw the slide up here real quick, because since I do a lot of troubleshooting in the store, I figured we'd just talk a little bit about that, then we probably have a few other things to discuss. With the troubleshooting side, has anybody ever really had any of these days where nothing actually did work right? Anybody confused by schematics, even the loss of words, and especially my favorite when nobody's there to call at 3 in the morning when you're having a pinball tournament in your house? The big thing with the hobby, obviously, is to have fun and smile, but to get the games running. So some of the things that we say to make troubleshooting easy is obviously to have essentially the right tools on hand. I'm sure there's tons and tons of different methods and tools that you can use, but we recommend the screwdrivers. Scott actually likes the 6-in-1 tools. Fuse pullers and tons of fuses, because Lord knows we do go through a lot of them when things don't work right. Jumper wires, good wire cutters. I can't stress a good soldering station. Even if it's a butane one, it would work just as well. When troubleshooting, I would like to try to have at least the schematics and manuals on hand. We do keep a gigantic collection in the store, in our filing cabinets, obviously alphabetized, and we're finding tons of them in the pole barn, believe it or not. We're still trying to get them in the filing cabinet. Luckily, they're starting to become available on the internet, downloadable, except for Gottlieb, I hate to say it. I mean, you can find a few of them, just got to be lucky. Worst case scenario, just go ahead and buy them if you can. If you can't, you know, like I said, Google's going to be your best friend there. With the fuse side, I'm sure in some of our past seminars you've seen some of the homebrewed fuse techniques that I've seen where people soldered fuses on top of fuses or the wires to the fuses. I can't stress using the right, correct amperage. I mean, like I said, wire is not a substitute in this case. Definitely using the wrong fuses can cause damage to the computer boards, and I've seen a lot of it in the field working on games that other people own, and you see the occasional bolt in the fuse socket. It's acceptable in some cases, but when it comes to your displays, no. That's obviously why I've got the Jim Carrey there, because that's the only way I can associate using the wrong fuses, because it can cause a damage and fire, which we see once in a while. The lamps and the switches on most machines, modern machines, are all about the same. The best analogy that I can use with the lamps and switches is kind of like that wonderful season that's coming up in December, Christmas, as you're fixing your Christmas strand of lights. And obviously we know when one goes out, they all go out, or part of the set goes out. The theory on that, obviously, is we look at it as a gigantic spider web, color-coded. Follow the lines. I mean, the manual should have schematics of the wiring diagrams if it's an older machine, but modern machines do have the lamp matrix and switch matrixes where you can actually follow the different color codes. And if one's broken, you can actually follow it to another switch to see if it's there, if it's still functioning or not. Or same with the lamps as well. If it's not, normally we jumper the wire. That's why we recommend having jumper wires on hand. It can get more detailed if it gets to be a bad problem where something's not working properly, where a light's always stuck on or a switch is stuck, where you actually have a bad switch, bad diodes in that case. Mechanical machines are a little different, obviously. I can use the term in here, you know, dirty contacts. But it could be a hit and miss. the coil side obviously would be the tougher side of fixing on a pinball machine because of the complexity that has to go to fire a coil. I mean, there's so many different chains of events to do it. I think probably about 4 years ago we had the breakdown of how this actually worked from the computer side, from the computer program down to the hardware level. Of course, that's on solid-state machines. You know, mechanical machines are totally different, but in theory, a mechanical machine is almost like a computer program where it actually has to follow a certain path in order to get to that path to fire the coils. I found this picture this morning, believe it or not. It's actually a nice one. When looking at certain coils, if it's not working, obviously we can tell by that picture that those are obviously blown or may have a potential problem. The other thing that most people don't see on coils is the actual sleeve inside. I mean, you may have a coil that may work just fine when it moves freely inside and out, but then you have those that are sluggish, and the ones that are sluggish, yeah, it can be a little bit of a problem because you're starting to develop some possible mushrooming on the, what the hell do they call that part? The coin plunger, or the plunger. Having a nice metal file is wonderful for fixing that, but we look at all these problems that could cause potential problems with coils. I would say maybe half the coil problems would be associated to broken wires because we're dealing with, obviously, pinball machines and vibrations. The other side of it, obviously, would be missing transistors or burn-up transistors, dirty or misaligned contact points. I mean, like I said, it can go into more detail on that, but I didn't have enough time to write up more on that. Then we go back to our wonderful troubleshooting routine there. Did anybody have any really questions on that? I mean, that's just a quick troubleshooting guide on, you know, some things. I mean, I can probably go into more detail on it if you really wanted to. But, you know, it's really time constraints, too.
As long as you have fun.
Yeah, the big thing is having fun.
The topic was fun with troubleshooting. We've all done troubleshooting, and it's what you make it. Okay, why don't we show some of the slides? Do you have the one of the office?
I can pull that up real quick.
Or did you have any more?
That's all the slides I wrote on there. Okay. Try to keep it simple. Let's go over here. Yeah, he's got some pictures. You want the before picture?
Yeah.
That's Scott's side of the desk.
Okay. And then the other side with the file cabinet.
That's my back room.
Yeah, that's his first. But this is the picture from last year.
Yeah, that's last year's stuff. But it hasn't changed much. I mean, other than the fact that we're actually throwing stuff away, I mean, we've actually been recycling a lot of scrap metal. I mean, what are you going to do with broken or, you know, bent pinball legs? I mean, that's actually money in your pocket just sitting there. I mean.
Oh, yeah, and cleaning up the store. I've had this dumpster where they would pick it up once a month. And in my enthusiasm for the decluttering, as I found out, for an extra $10 a month, they can pick up my dumpster twice, every other week. And so what we'll do is I've got it on the calendar that we spend the Thursday afternoon before they pick it up to declutter. And our goal is every time they pick up the trash that dumpster be full. And as far as recycling, I have filled my trailer to the brim twice and take it to the scrap metal yard and get $100 every time. And so there's money in that junk. But the question is, it's like I saw Mike taking stuff out of this corner here, and there were some pinball parts, and my natural instinct was to grab it. And no, I don't need it. So trying to keep that balance between what parts are going to be necessary, because you never know what you're going to need. But at some point, there is way too much junk. And so we've been trying to clean out the junk. Okay, then this is what my office did look like, and every once in a while does, but trying to stay organized. And this is a clutter-free zone, and as Stern had it, as an error-free zone.
Yeah, my side's actually getting better. We're slow. I get so much work with EEPROMs. I'm just so far behind on erasing them and reusing them. It's just my desk is just cluttered with little chip spiders, as I'd say.
Now, the games that I've got on in the hall, it's very hard. And I come to Expo for the seminars. I really enjoy them, and it's been years since I've been an exhibitor. It's two totally separate mindsets. Is to be an exhibitor, you really can't come to enjoy the seminars. But I really enjoy being an exhibitor. And like Tom is not an exhibitor this year. I was like, wow, that's really strange. But he gets to enjoy the seminars. And it's hard to do both. And it's an interesting mindset.
Show some of those pictures.
Yeah. I recently found a friend of a customer knew of this lady whose husband was an operator. And he died in 1987. And his pole barn has never been open in probably 30 years. And this 81-year-old widow was very, very reluctant to open it up to anybody. And so I got to go into this pole barn, and it was so cluttered. All I could see were just the heads of pinball machines sticking up. And I got really excited. And there was no power, so I couldn't really see any. And so I just had, these are some pictures off my phone.
Yeah, some of these pictures might be graphic, so if you don't like the looks of them, turn away.
But I thought I had a problem with clutter. And the thing is like with any 12-step program, you don't try to compare, only relate. Oh, hey, the dealer's choice. Okay, cool. And what's that in the other corner? And keep going, next. Ah, blast off. That's on our floor right now, or in the exhibit hall. Williams 8-ball. And it's just absolutely amazing. Game 90s. Name that game. Satin Doll. There's the beat time that we got on the floor. Next. And just, it's as disgusting as it is, I could just only relate. My Sweethearts. There were some Genko games in there, and I eventually want to get it. But there was just so much garbage. And a lot of it were burning. I've taken stuff to my dumpster. Yeah, isn't that sad? All those wall boxes. There's probably 50 to 100 jukeboxes in there, and all the chrome has gone to seed. The one thing that was really disgusting is the varmint shit. There's the Gypsy Doodle that's on the floor.
And that's before I broke the back glass.
That pile is raccoon shit without a playfield glass. Fortunately, you put down some canvas, but there was the beat time. And when we got the beat time, I did not realize that it was a parts machine. Score motor was missing, flippers were missing, solenoids were missing, score wheels. But, you know, it's what we do. Hey, there's a...
That's all the pictures.
That's not one from the pole barn. That was a customer brought this in I did a little trade for it, and Ron did an absolutely spectacular job of restoring it. We didn't bring a after picture. But, any questions? Wrapping things up now. With troubleshooting, my most favorite tool is not just the small jumper wire, but the long 3-4 feet. And people were asking about, you know, troubleshooting electromechanical stuff. The jumper wire is my favorite tool, as well as the emery board or the burnishing tool and the pin bender or switch adjuster. Yes? Worst what? Act. A couple years ago, we brought some stuff that we've seen in the field. A dot matrix display that someone piggybacked every single wire. So it's actually two together. The worst one, I would say, is finding bolts for fuses. I had a customer who had a taxi, and the high voltage blew, so he wrapped the 3/8 amp fuse in foil, stuck it in, and wanted to know why he did $400 worth of damage. But this was before you could, call up Rotten Dog, hey, I need a new power supply, and before we would have to meticulously repair the boards ourselves or send them off. How this hobby has changed in the last 10 years, last 15 years, it's just absolutely amazing, and I absolutely love it, and most of you guys have seen the changes. And any other questions?
The hand-drawn diagram you have
there. Oh, yeah, it's a pass-out. I've got a couple more up here. It was just something online. It's just wonderfully silly.
You guys notice the flux capacitor?
Just above the flux capacitor is the most expensive chip available. If anyone has ever worked on a three-color XY monitor.
And, of course, you can't forget the magic smoke.
Yes. When a customer calls, I ask, did you let the smoke out? Because that's what's coming out of the, when you plug a...
It's right there. It's right on the schematic.
Yeah. If you plug your machine into the wall, it's smoke that comes from the wall, goes into the machine, and the machine contains the smoke very carefully. And then once, if something happens and the smoke comes out, that's why the machine doesn't work anymore. So we got to fix the and patch the area where the smoke can stay contained, and everything will be fine. Any other questions?
Oh, what was that? I'm trying to think which machine that was.
What's that smell? And it actually went to flame.
No, I know what happened. It was a Williams... it was a System 6 game. Firepower. Out of all things. No, it's Flash. The flash solenoid was stuck on for the thing. But the lamp matrix wasn't working right. So we know when the lamps aren't working right, those resistors get really hot. And I shit you not, we walked back there and it smelled like crap. And we looked at the driver board, and half the resistors fell off the board inside the cabinet. And all because I answered the phone or helped a customer on the floor. And it probably took about 2 hours to repair the damage for less than probably 2-3 minutes worth of cooking. But it still lives.
Yeah. Or one of the fun ones was a Gorgar. A customer had put wrapped foil for the fuses in the solenoid circuit, and the PIA took a dump, and every solenoid on a Gorgar started smoking at once. So to have the demonic inferences and having the smoke bellowing out of the machine.
It smelled good.
But I purchased the machine, and I told him it would be very expensive to fix, but we fixed it ourselves, And another machine come and gone. Well, thank you very much. I had a lot of fun being up here. And thank you, Robbie.
And if you guys want any of this information, we'll try to throw it on our website once we get back to Toledo, including all the funny pictures and anything that you guys want. Or you can also email us, too. Thanks.